Your neighbor says, is your lamp burning? I had to write a few things while on that second song the praise and worship team did. I like what that part says. His name is a light that shadows can't deny. There's power in the name of Jesus. Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 35. If you're there, say amen. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Go to verse 40. Therefore you, say you, also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you and we magnify your name, God. God, we thank you for your presence and your power we feel in this house this morning. We thank you for the anointing we feel in such a wonderful and powerful way this morning. God, Lord, we don't want to do anything to get in the way, but God, we ask that you have your will and your way. God, that our hearts and our minds and our lives and our spirits, our spiritual eyes, our spiritual ears be open and receptive. And not only receptive, but responsive to you. Lord, help me, your servant, speak what you have laid upon our heart. God, let us hear your voice. Let us feel and the unction of your Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, walk these aisles. Lord, minister to our hearts. Draw us closer to you, especially in this hour and this time. And we give you the praise. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Jesus is declaring, as we've already talked about in this passage, how to be ready for his second coming. And not only how to be ready, but that we need to be ready for his second coming. We talked about a few things last week that are already lining up. There's nothing left on the biblical calendar before the rapture of the church. Everything is in place. Somebody says, well, we've been hearing that for years. We've never been as close as the technology is in place. Spiritual signs are in place. We even talked about the birth of the first true red heifer is in place, and that just kind of went under the radar. But let me tell you, Jews and Christians are watching that in a tremendous way, because the Jews are seeing it as the initial coming of their Messiah, but we are looking at it from the second coming of the Messiah. Can you say amen? Because that red heifer, we're not sure if it's that one or one that will come after, that red heifer will have to be sacrificed at the beginning or before the third temple will be built. And the third temple will be built during the tribulation. Friends, but we will not be here during the tribulation. Can you say amen? We're going to be out of here. But we've got to be ready when he returns. Can you say amen? Jesus again is declaring to us in this passage how to be ready for his second coming. We have already covered the first part of verse 35, having our loins girded about. We preached two messages about girding up or being girded up. First, we talked about being girded with truth. In other words, two things represent truth. The relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. God is truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. So we are to be girded about with truth. In other words, we are to be in close relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, especially in this day. The second aspect that it talks about the truth is his word is truth. Can you say amen? We are to be walking close to the word, and not only in just reading it, but applying it to our lives. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. In his high priestly prayer to his Father, he said, Father, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. We may not can stand on a lot of things these days. Things are here today and gone tomorrow, but this word will forever stand. You can stand. You can bank on this truth of God's word. Can you say amen? We talked about last Sunday night, a wonderful, powerful service, about the second part of being girded up, girding up the loins of our mind. In other words, watching over our mind. The scripture talks about the helmet of salvation. In other words, we are to have the helmet of salvation. Why do you think that helmet is a complete covering of our head? Because Satan's number one target is our mind. If he can get your mind off, then he can get your heart unsettled. He can get your heart disturbed. If he can get your mind distracted, he can get your heart distracted. He came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Can you say amen? So we must gird up the loins of our mind. We must gird up our minds, set our minds on higher things than the things of this world, because this world ain't all there is. Can you say amen? There are higher things. And if we set, the Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall cause them to stumble. You shall keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. Can you say amen? You want to know how to keep your mind at peace in this world today? Keep it set on the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. You seek with your mind. Can you say amen? Romans 8 verse 6 says this, for to be carnally minded or fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Today we want to look at the second part of verse 35. Let your lamps be burning. Let your lamps be burning. Again, in this passage of Luke chapter 12 verse 35 all the way through verse 48, Jesus is dealing with his second coming. And the importance of you and I being ready. Say, turn to your neighbor and say, we must be ready. In verse 35, he tells us what we are to do. Here's the awesome thing. We mentioned this last week. He was speaking this to his disciples 2,000 years ago, and he hadn't even left yet. How much closer, and they were looking for his return, and he hadn't even left yet. We're 2,000 years down the pike. All biblical prophecy, except for what happens in the tribulation and beyond, has been fulfilled. We are sitting on the brink of the rapture, and how much more should you and I be ready for his return? Jesus is about to come back. I'm going to say it again. Jesus is about to come back. Can you say amen? He says, let your loins be girded up. Let your loins be girded up with truth, and let your gird up the loins of your mind. He says, and let your lamps be burning. What does it mean to let your lamp be burning? That word lamp means a lamp, a candle, a luminary object, to be brilliant, to be bright, to be burning, to be set on fire, to be a light, to be consumed with fire. We are not to be a little flicker of light, but we are to be a brilliant, bright light that is set on fire. Can you say amen? I love what Jeremiah, when he had to prophesy against the backslidden nation, he said, I tried not to do it. I tried to keep my mouth shut. I tried to kick back. I tried to get back and not to prophesy anymore, because it cost him so much and he was receiving so much abuse and so much persecution from it. But he said, it was like a fire in me shut up in my bones. Can you say amen? He says, I could not remain the same. Can I tell you, God doesn't call us to be a flicker. He calls us to have a fire burning inside. Can you say amen? Jesus didn't come as a flicker. He came as a fire, and he has set the world. He's illuminated the world, and some folks don't like it, but some of us do. Can you say amen? Amen. What does it mean to have your light, your lamp burning? Jesus said in John 8, verse 12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I like what it said as we sang that. His name is a light that shadows can't deny it. Shadows can't deny it. Satan can't deny it. All the demons in hell can't deny it. All the atheists can't deny it. All the false religions can't deny it. Why do you think they're trying to come against him in such a powerful fashion? Friends, I want you to know, China is trying to shut the church down, but every time they do, it just explodes. Why? Because his light, his name is a light that the shadows can't deny it. The darkness trembles at the name of Jesus. Satan trembles at the name of Jesus. When I want to tell you, he exposes the darkness. He exposes the lies of the enemy. Can you say amen? He says, I am come as a light of the world, as a lamp, as a fire to the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. He is the light of the world. If we follow him, we won't be in darkness, but we will have the light. That word light means the lamp, the fire of life. John chapter 12 verse 46 says this, Jesus said, I am come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Not only you're not going to walk in darkness, you're not going to live in darkness. You're not going to live in darkness. If we abide in him, We shall not abide in darkness. If we are following after him, if we're following after his light, we won't abide, we won't remain, we won't dwell, we won't continue in darkness. See, there's either one or two things. We're either walking in the light or we're leaning toward the dark. Can you say amen? But in this day and hour, we need to be walking in the light as he is in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 6 says this. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light. Say that with me. God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. According to this scripture and others, according to all these scriptures, what does it mean to have our light burning or our lamp burning? What it means to have our lamp burning is means we have been born again. We are saved. We've accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. Our sins have been forgiven. Can you say amen? What does it mean to have our lamp burning? That we are Christ and Christ is in us. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Can you say amen? What does it mean to have our lamp burning? That we are following Christ. We're not following our flesh. We're not following after the things of the world, but we are following after the things of God. Can you say amen? What does it mean to have our lamp burning? That we are not living or walking according to the darkness of our flesh or the darkness of this world. I'm going to tell you, I get so shocked. As I read many times, I study Fox News. I look, don't study it. I read it a lot. I read the Drudge Report and Breitbart and things like that. And I'm amazed of the thinking of things that are going on in this world. Can you say amen? What they're calling good is what's good they're calling evil, and what's evil they're calling good. I read an article about this woman that says she broke free from an evangelical purity covenant or convent. And I says, well, let me read a little bit about that. What it was, they were talking, there's a thing that the Baptist started in our church has been involved in. It's just an evangelical group that are calling young people to purity and righteousness at a young age. And she said it was put in her head that sex was a bad thing and that she shouldn't do it outside of marriage. She said, and it warped her thinking. No, it didn't. They were just telling what the truth is. Can you say amen? They were telling young people to save yourselves for marriage. They were encouraging them and encouraging moms and dads to make a covenant with their children and a covenant with their teenagers, telling them to how to live a right life. And she said that warped her thinking. Well, if it warps their thinking, we need more warped young people around today. Can you say amen? But I'm going to tell you, the real warped thinking is what we're seeing in the world that's leaning more toward the darkness than the light. Can you say amen? Are you with me today? Amen. We are not living or walking. What does it mean to have our lamps burning? We are not living or walking according to the darkness of this world. What does it mean to have our lamps burning? We are in fellowship with Christ. Fellowship. In other words, we are in communion. We are in cooperation. Through prayer, through worship, through service, through study and application of his word. 1 John 1:6, we read it a while ago, but if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we have fellowship with him, we do practice the truth. What does it mean to have our lamps burning? That we are living according to the truth of his word. Psalms 119 verse 105 says, "Here your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We're living according to his word. What does it mean to have our lamps burning? What does it mean to have our lamps burning? That means we have fellowship with his body. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Not only do we have fellowship with him, we have fellowship with like-minded believers. Can you say amen? What does it mean to have our lamps burning? That we have been and are being and will be completely cleansed by his blood. There's a sanctification process. I've given my heart to the Lord. I have been saved. As I'm following Him and walking His light, I'm being saved. And one of these days when this great world loses its gravitation and we're caught up in glory, I shall be completely saved. Can you say amen? There's a sanctification going on. Why? Because we have our lamps burning. We are looking for and ready for His return. What does it mean to have our lamps burning? That we are filled with and led by the Holy Spirit. I like what Nebuchadnezzar told Daniel. He says, I have heard of you that the Spirit of God is in you, and that the light and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Nebuchadnezzar was the ruler of the world at that time, and he had some questions that he couldn't answer. He had some things he didn't understand. He had some visions on his bed that he couldn't figure out. And he got all the wisdom of the men in his kingdom, the Babylonian kingdom of that time. They couldn't tell him. He got the most intelligent men of his time. They couldn't tell him anything. And somebody says, you need to check out that Jewish boy named Daniel. You need to give Daniel a call. And he says, I have heard of you. Can I tell you, when somebody is full of the light of God, when somebody is full of the Spirit of God, when somebody is full of the power of God, people will take notice. Can you say amen? And it was the light, it was the power, it was the anointing of God in Daniel's life that turned that nation and turned that king around. Can you say amen? Why? Because Daniel had his lamp burning in an ungodly society. Are y'all with me today? I'm about to have myself a time up here. I don't know about y'all. What does it mean to have our lamp burning? That we have His fire, His light burning within, shining, manifesting His presence and glory in and through our lives. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 and 15 says this, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp, say a lamp, and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That word lamp, nor did they light a lamp. That word means a portable lamp, an illuminator. We are just a reflection of the light and the fire that comes from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are just a reflection of God who is light. We are just a reflection of the Spirit of light, the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? How much are we reflecting, though? We're to let our light shine before men, our fire shine before, that they may see the good works and glorify God in heaven. That's just part of what it means to keep our lamps burning. Is your lamp lit this morning? We're not talking about a flicker. We're talking about a flame. Can y'all dim the lights, please? We've got a fire extinguisher close by just in case. Let me do. Go ahead and dim a little bit more. Now, is this fire? Go ahead and dim these lights on down. Oh. Now, is this a fire? Does it give light? Is it really illuminating anything? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, not gonna let Satan see it out. You know, I'm thinking, but the sad thing, it's kind of funny because I'm having to be careful because the slightest breeze will blow it out. The slightest movement will blow it out. The slightest opposition will blow it out. God don't call us to be a flicker. God calls us to be a flame. I need Pastor Matt. Oh, is something cooking up now? Something done got to burning. Go ahead and turn the lights down. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. See, I don't have to worry. Wind ain't going to bother. The storm ain't going to put it out. Can you see what's going on? Is it bringing light to those who are in the darkness? Yes. I don't have to be worried about my outside circumstance because I'll have the light going on within. Can you say amen? God didn't call us to be a flicker. God calls us to be a flame. Can you say amen? Turn down. Y'all can go ahead and turn the lights back up a little bit. Go ahead and turn them up. Birthday candle makes a good show, but has little substance, therefore it goes out quickly. It's fire, it's light, but not brilliant, and it's not lasting. Again, we're not talking about a flicker, we're talking about a flame. The Coleman lantern there let me kick it back up a little bit. Come on. The Coleman lantern has a reservoir in it that if it stays filled and it stays pumped up, it keeps burning continually. Is your lamp lit this morning? When Jesus comes back, he's looking for those who have their lamps burning. Not a flicker, but he's looking for a flame. He's looking for those who are on fire. Can you say amen? Luke chapter 12, verse 35. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, not flickering. Let your lamps be burning. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom his master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that they will gird them. He will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or in the third watch and find them, so blessed are those servants. He's looking. He's coming back for a church that's got their lamps burning. Can you say amen? How's your lamp doing today? Jesus talks about a parable in Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 1. The parable of the wise and foolish virgins. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered and said, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go gather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man is coming." Again, the Lord is telling us that we are to be watching and waiting. The 10 virgins are those who are born again, those who are of the church. It talks about those who are of the church. The bridegroom is Christ. There were 5 foolish, but have had lamps, but they took no oil. They had some type of substance. They had a little fire, but they took no oil. They didn't make preparation to go with the Lord. Can you say amen? Then you had the 5 that were wise. They had their wise. The Bible gives a differentiates between. He says the 5 took their vessels with them. They had more than what the foolish ones had. They took their vessels with them. Can you see the difference there? Can you say amen? They had lamps but took oil with them. And while the bridegroom tarried, all of them became drowsy and fell asleep. Now, you've got 2 different types of sleep. The foolish are sleeping the sleep of apathy. They are so slumbered by the distractions and the things of this world, they're not really concerned about their relationship with Christ. They're so caught up in the distractions and the things of this world that they're not really concerned that Jesus is coming back. They're not concerned about their relationship with the Lord. They're not concerned with making a difference in this world. They call themselves Christians. They act like Christians sometimes. They may look like Christians. But as we said, when the least little bit of wind or opposition comes, their flame flickers tremendously. You see where we're going with this? The five wise had their lamps and they took oil with them. And when they fell asleep, they were resting in the security of knowing that everything between them and the Lord was okay. They had made their preparations. They were ready spiritually. They were ready emotionally. They were ready for His return. They were resting in their assurance. The Bible says there reigns a rest for the people of God. Can you say amen? They may have been somewhat distracted. They may have been caught off guard, as we see in just a moment. See, but sometimes, listen to me, sometimes even the wise virgins, even the born again that are ready, looking for His return, sometimes we forget that this ain't all there is. Sometimes we can get so caught up in the things around us that we forget that this thing could be over in a second. Amen. That Jesus is coming back. So many times we can be lulled to sleep by the things of this world that we can forget that Jesus is about to come back and take us all out of here. Can you say amen? But at midnight, say midnight, a cry came. Verse 6. And at midnight a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. That word trimmed, it means to compare, to cosmetic, to beautify, to arrange, to decorate, to furnish, to embellish, to adorn, to put in order. Here's a picture of revival before the second coming of Christ. What it kind of means is means to cut off, but their fire has gone out and they don't have much to trim. But the wise said, you know what? I need to make this thing as bright and as good as I can. I need to get pumped up with prayer. I need to get pumped up with the Word. I need to get pumped up with His presence. I need to get pumped up with His service. And I need to quit just holding back, and I need to just go ahead and turn on and get as bright as I can. Can you say amen? Because Jesus is coming back. Jesus is about to come. The five wise said, we are going to get trimming our lamps. Can you say amen? But here's the problem. All of them rose up and trimmed their lamps. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. They tried to trim their lamps, but the foolish ones' lamps were either going out or gone out. When they started out, they didn't see the need for greater commitment. They didn't see the need for greater faithfulness to His house. They didn't see the need for spending that time in prayer. They didn't need to see the need for worship. They didn't see the need for learning and living the truth. And when it came time that their lights needed to be shining the most, because of their own foolish choices, they had nothing to fall back on, nothing to draw from, and they weren't ready. But the problem was the bridegroom was coming. They didn't see the need for that type of commitment. They didn't see the need for that type of dedication. But the problem is the bridegroom is coming. And they're asking, can you give us some of your oil? Number one, they ain't got no place to put it because they've made no provision for it. Give us some of your oil. Give us what you got. They said, no, we've had to get this for ourselves. But you can go get it for yourself. Can you say amen? And while they were going to get it, something happened. The wise, as they were distracted, when it came time because of their deeper commitment, service, and devotion to Christ at the first, they saw the importance of the Word. They saw the importance of loving the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. They saw the importance of faithfulness. They saw the importance of prayer. They saw the importance of worship. They saw the importance of being filled with the Holy Ghost. And when the call came, they had something to draw from, something to fall back on. They had had it at the beginning, and now they have it again. They have trimmed their lamps. They got rid of the old part that kept their lamps from burning clear and bright. They got refueled and went out to meet the bridegroom. Say amen. Again, the foolish wanted what the wise had, but the problem is you've got to get it for yourself. You've got to get it for yourself. Touch your neighbor and say, you've got to get it for yourself. I read a unique comment lately. I read a unique comment recently. And at first I said, Then I said, you know, that makes a lot of sense. God has no grandchildren. God has no grandchildren. All he has is children. He doesn't have any grandchildren. All he's got is children. When we get saved, we're called to what? I'm not a grandchild. I'm not a nephew. I'm not a niece, thank God. I'm called a child of God. If you're going to have anything from God, you've got to get it yourself. Your grandmama can't get it for you. Your granddaddy can't get it for you. Your mama can't get it for you. Your daddy can't get it for you. You've got to get it for yourself. The foolish said, give us what you've got. And they said, whoa, we can't do it. There may not be enough for us and you. But guess what? They had gotten it for themselves. And while these were gone to try to find what they had, while these were gone, the bridegroom came. Why didn't he wait for them? While the foolish went out and were trying to find their own, the bridegroom came. Verse 10, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready, say those who were ready, went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Those that were ready, those who had their lamps trimmed, those who had taken that oil in their vessels with them, went in with Christ, and the door was shut. Verse 11, afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, look at what they called him. They called him Lord. It's capitalized. Open to us. Open to us. The five foolish came back thinking they were now ready and trying to get in, but it was too late. Why? Because their lamps were not lit. They were not ready when he came, and they missed out completely. We're talking about 10 virgins. Five were wise, five were foolish. I've read a lot of different commentary on this. I've heard a lot of different preachers preach this. But could it be, say perhaps, that Jesus is giving us a percentage of the church that's really ready and those who are think they are? And how? What is the percentage? 50%. Boy, that's scary. We're talking about the church world as a whole. But let's bring this into perspective. Is this all right today? I don't know how many we got on this side or how many of this got on this. We're just going to use this. What a tragedy for one side not to make it and one side to be let in. Well, the Lord shouldn't be that mean. Oh, it's not up to the Lord. It's talking about a personal choice of being ready ourselves. It's talking about a personal decision that I'm going to stay in prayer. I'm going to stay in the Word. I'm going to stay faithful to His house. Somebody says, well, you know, God's grace covers all that. Does it? We've got a personal commitment. We've got a personal decision. We've got personal choices. You like my little sawed-off mother-in-law says, honey, you can have as much of the Lord as you want. But a lot of people want to talk about His second coming. A lot of people want to talk about getting ready, but they don't want to talk about spending time in prayer. They don't want to talk about spending time living the Word. They don't want to talk about sharing their faith. They don't want to talk about fasting. They don't want to talk about being faithful to His house. They don't want to talk. They just want the promises without the responsibility. You know what? It doesn't really tell us that they ever really got ready. They just heard something happened and they ran back to the door and said, "Lord, Lord, please let us in." What was his response? But he answered and said, "I surely say to you, I do not know you." Church, listen to me. Christ will come on his own schedule, whether we are ready or not. And once he comes and we're not ready, then it's too late. And to those who have known better beforehand, there will be no more opportunity. That's why Jesus is saying here in verse 13, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Brother Dawes, what are you talking about this morning? We need to hear, the bridegroom's coming. I said the bridegroom's coming. The bridegroom's coming. It's time to quit playing church. It's time to quit playing mediocre Christianity. It's time to quit having one foot in the world and one foot in the church. It's time to be all or nothing with God. He was all or nothing with us when he hung on the cross. It's time to get our lamps filled again. It's time to lay aside anything that's hindering our walk with church. It's time. Why? Because Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. You say, "Brother Doss, we've been hearing it all our lives if we've been around church." Yeah, but we've never been in a day and an hour like we're living in right now. When do I need to get? Well, when I see it's getting a little bit closer, I'll get ready. You don't know when it's going to happen. The disciples, before Jesus ever left, were getting ready then, 2,000 years ago. Our early church fathers and moms, saints of old, we're getting ready because they were expecting him to come. You've heard me say this. I love to talk to older ministers. The only bad thing about it, I'm getting there myself. Younger ministers are talking to me. He said, "What do you think?" I said, "Oh, this ain't no good." But I love to talk to older ministers that are a lot older than myself. I said, I'll ask him, "Have you ever seen a day like we're living in?" And they said, "No." They said, "We need to be ready. We need to have our lamps burning. We don't need a flicker. We need a flame." You know what? We don't only need a flame for ourselves. Because the places we go at work, come on somebody. The place people we hang out with at school, they need to see the true light. They need to see what a real light is. They need to see not our light, but they need to see the light of Jesus shining through our lives. Can I tell you, if you're lost in darkness, sooner or later, you're looking for some light. The enemy wants to offer a false light, but only Jesus has the true light. Can you say amen? His name is a light that shadows can't deny. He makes the darkness tremble. When someone's full of the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan gets nervous. Doesn't mean he's going to back off, but he gets nervous because he said, "What? How do they see it?" They said, "He got that light going." Are y'all with me this morning? This doesn't bother Satan a bit. He's not scared of a flicker, but he's worried about a flame. How's your lamp burning this morning? Closing today, Luke chapter 12, verse 36. "And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 says this, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed." If our loins are girded about with truth, and our minds are girded up with truth, and our lamps are burning when the bridegroom comes, we can open immediately. Why? Because we are ready for His return. It will happen so quickly, but we must heed the call today. How's your lamp burning today? Can I tell you, I truly believe this is the midnight cry. I truly believe we are in the time of the midnight cry. Verse 6 of 25 says, "And at midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him.'" God, through Jesus Christ, by the drawing power of His Holy Spirit, has given us the opportunity to come to know Him as Lord and Savior, or to get back in right relationship with Him, or to take us from being this to this. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. "Therefore He says, 'Awake, you who sleep, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light.'" Let me tell you, when Jesus gives you light, He's not going to give you a flicker. He's going to give you a flame. Can you say amen? Arise. That means to get up. Awake. To get up. Say get up. From the dead, the lifeless life spirit that we have. "And Christ shall give you the light," the fire, the light of life. We must be ready because He could come at any time. Verse 40, and this is the last scripture, I promise. "Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Church, we've got to be ready because He can come in an hour we don't think He can. We must be ready today because we're not guaranteed tomorrow.